What if I was to tell you this morning that Jesus has something that will better your health, deepen your spirituality, and improve our community, and that it's all found here in the fifth chapter of Mark? Why don't you come with me for a few minutes as we explore Mark 5 and see what it has to say for us today. And surprisingly enough, it all began with a jar of peanut butter. Fred Craddock, who I quoted several times last Sunday, has a book out called Craddock Stories. And there's one in there that he calls the peanut butter story. It seems that Dr. Craddock was at home, but his wife was traveling, and he said he decided that he was going to fix one of what he calls his special meals. And so he went to the store to get some peanut butter. And as he got to the store, he ended up going to one of those big, large stores, not the small neighborhood store. And he ended up getting turned around, and he couldn't find the peanut butter. So as he was standing there confused, he looked and saw a woman, and he thought to himself, she looks very comfortable in this store. I bet she knows where the peanut butter is. So he went over to her and said, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the peanut butter is?" And she kind of jerked, and she turned around and looked at him and says, "Are you trying to hit on me?" An editor's note here is that Craddock was about 75 when this happened. "Are you trying to hit on me?" And he said, "No, I'm trying to find the peanut butter." And she just stormed off. So he went, and he eventually found a stock boy, and he asked him where it is. The stock boy said, "Oh yeah, it's in aisle 5. You go down about halfway, and right there on your left will be the peanut butter." And sure enough, he went down, and there it was. And just as he was pulling, you know, the peanut butter off the shelf, who comes around the corner but the woman, right? And she stops and looks at him and says, "Well, you really were looking for the peanut butter." And Craddock said, I told you so. He said, "You know, I told you so." And she said, being slightly defensive, she said to him, "Well, nowadays, you just can't be too careful." And Craddock says, at that moment, he said, it just welled up in me. And I said to her, "Yes, you can, lady. You can be too careful." Now, as I was reading that story, my thinking went to several places in the scriptures, but one was this story that Dave read for us a few minutes ago, because this is a story about an entire society that's living its life based on being careful, based on being too careful. Society at that time in Jesus's place was operating that you can't be too careful. And so, based upon their rules and regulations, they ostracized this woman. They shunned her, they abused her. And they battered her socially, emotionally, and spiritually, as well as apparently financially. The story says that the doctors took all her money and they were unable to heal her. And this behavior is documented in the rules. It's in Leviticus chapter 15, where it says, when a woman, and you know, if we were writing it today, it would just simply say, whenever a woman is experiencing her menstrual cycle, you should avoid her. Well, in those days, it says whenever it was blood, a woman was engaged in bleeding, that she was to be sheltered and put away from the rest of the society. Because, as Leviticus goes on to say, this makes her unclean, makes her dirty, it makes her unfit to be with other people. And if she would touch other people, this would make them unclean too. And at that moment, the whole issue of being clean versus unclean was a big religious issue in Israel. That's part of what the story of the Good Samaritan is all about too, when the priest and the Levite walk past the man laying in the ditch. And so they ostracized this woman for her medical condition. It meant she couldn't engage in anything joyful. She couldn't go to weddings, couldn't go to church on Sunday, couldn't go to parties, couldn't go shopping with Fred Craddock, couldn't do anything. She was excluded from life. She desperately needed compassion. And what she got was, you can't be too careful. And this is where Jesus enters the story. You see, Jesus is operating under a different perspective. Because his perspective is that you can't be too caring. And so he has this encounter with the woman. She sneaks up to him and touches his garment, and she's healed. And then he has an encounter with her, and he talks with her and reaffirms her faith and God's faith in her. And then verbal kindness, he calls her daughter. You know, you and I are connected with one another in special ways, and you are now whole. Craddock says that in this story, what we can see is one more example of the compassion that Jesus had for the outsider, for the one that doesn't fit, for the one who is suffering because of the assumptions of the majority population in that time. And we learn a crucial lesson from it. We can't be too caring, but we can be too careful. Last Sunday, I quoted a saying from Gandhi, where, if you'll remember, he was asked about what he thought about Christianity, and his answer was that I really like your Christ. It's your Christians I don't like very much. He says, because it seems that they are so very often not like their Christ. It seems to me that one of the key callings for you and me is for us, each day by day, to seek to be as much like Christ as we can be. And I would suggest to you that one of the best ways of seeing how we're doing is to test out how compassionate we are to the least, to the lost, to those in difficulty, to everybody we meet. And there's power in compassion. Now, I'm not talking about you and I needing compassion ourselves. That comes, it's a different thing. What I'm talking about today is about you and I trying to live in the footsteps of Christ, trying to be as compassionate as Christ was. And here's the three things I think that's important to know about this. First is that doing compassion for other people has the power to heal you physically. I don't know how many of you read the San Francisco Chronicle yesterday, but there was a rather lengthy article in it about a Stanford neuroscientist who was doing a major study where he was looking at the effect of prayer, meditation, and doing compassionate acts has on the well-being of individuals. And one of the things that the study seems to be pointing out is that doing compassionate things for other people contributes to our own emotional sense of well-being, and surprise also contributes to our physical well-being. So the first thing I would suggest to you this morning as we listen to this story and learn from it is that if you want to feel better, be compassionate toward others. Second thing is that the passion has the power to heal us spiritually. One time when I was in a study group of clergy, and we were talking about what do you do with those things in the Bible that you don't know whether you really believe or not. It's a difficult situation. And one of the pastors in the group said, I always do this. If I find something in there that I don't understand or have a hard time believing, he says, I just keep preaching it until I believe it. Well, I don't know whether that makes good sense, either theologically or preaching-wise, but in terms of compassion, something like that makes sense. Even if you don't feel like it, do it until you do feel like it. Disciplined compassion, intentional compassion for other people, whether you feel like it or not inside, leads to spiritual growth. If you want to grow spiritually, be compassionate to other people. And third, then, compassion has the ability to heal us socially. Jan and I were watching some portions of a show we'd taped that she had taped. It was a two-hour show about what different faiths believe about heaven. Maybe some of you saw it. But there was one section where Barbara Walters interviewed the Dalai Lama, the spiritual head of Tibetan Buddhism. And he was talking about the fact that in the core of his form of Buddhism is that compassion is the center of his faith's spiritual dynamics. And he said it's the key human potential because compassion reconciles and restores. It heals and brings peace. And in another article, it reminded me of another article that I had seen about him when he was talking about his take on Christianity. And he said that in many ways there's a great deal of similarity between Buddhism and Christianity. He said, because you too believe in compassion, and that compassion in your faith leads to the kingdom of God. I think he's right. Our world has a compassion deficit. We seem to act as if compassion, the power behind compassion is in short supply. It's not. There's more than enough to go around. And all we have to do is keep giving it away. And somehow it seems to restore itself and grow. If you want the world to be a better place, be compassionate. I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. Go ahead. Be nice to people. Go ahead. Care about other people. Go ahead. Be willing to put your arms around them and work with them for their good. Go ahead and help them to a better tomorrow. If you do, you may discover that you feel better about yourself. You feel better physically. You'll find your faith has been growing deeper, and you'll find that your world is getting better. What more could you ask for on a summer Sunday morning? Amen.